So let's go to John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees, verse 1, named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher and come from God, and no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And we know that, looking at Jesus' response, we know that Nicodemus came in a sincere fashion. He came with sincerity. He wanted to know some truth. Otherwise, Jesus was able to pick out those that were trying to trick him and trap him. Jesus didn't respond in that manner to Nicodemus. He goes in verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Because that's really why Nicodemus came looking for him. He wanted to know how to get into the kingdom of God, and I believe he was sincere. He was a Pharisee. He believed in the afterlife. He believed in God. He recognized that Jesus was from God. He wanted to know how to get into the kingdom of heaven. Because I think he understood that he could not live the law. No matter how hard he tried, he was going to fail at some aspect of the law. And he was just honest enough to say, I cannot live by this legal system. I'm going to fail at it in some way. And if living this set of rules and living out this legal system is the only way to get me into heaven, I am a sinner because I cannot live it. And what did Jesus answer and said? The only way you can get into heaven is if you are born again. That, of course, confused Nicodemus. And verse 4, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered and said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. So Jesus said, listen, you're going to have to be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You've already been born of the flesh. Going back into your mother's womb wouldn't do anything. Your problem is that you have not been born again of the Spirit. Now, what did all that mean? I mean, Nicodemus is asking a very pointed question, and Jesus is answering him. You've got to be born again. Now, we went back to the very beginning. We went back to the Garden of Eden. And we looked in the Garden of Eden where God had made man and woman in his own image. They were made in the image of God. And God did something to Adam that he did not do to any of the other creatures on the earth. As he made Adam out of the dirt of the ground, of the earth. He was made out of the elements in the earth. But God breathed into his nostrils his very own breath. He put into Adam his very own spirit that was birthed and conceived by God himself. And Adam became a living creature. Now that is spoken of Adam that is not spoken of any other creature that God made. He said Adam became a living creature. He was alive. That meant he had a spirit. He was just like God. He was alive. And he said, put them in the garden and said, you can eat of any fruit to sustain your bodies. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat it. Because the day you eat it, you will surely die. That day you will surely die. And of course, we know the story. Satan, Lucifer, who I believe had been given a second chance as long as he lived under the rule of Adam and submitted himself to Adam and to Eve, who were put on this earth to have dominion over the earth. They were the gods of this world. And if he had submitted to Adam and Eve and their authority, I think things would have turned out better for him. But he wanted to rule. He was full of himself. And he deceived Adam and Eve. He deceived Eve, and Adam jumped into it. And so the sin is put on Adam. And he deceived her. And he said, you'll be like God if you eat of this tree. He didn't want you to eat of this tree because he knows if you do, you'll be like him. She was already like him. She was already like God. She was already like God. She was already made in the image of God. She had no need of the knowledge of evil. She had no need of it. Evil was found in Satan, and he wanted to exalt himself. And he wanted to have dominion over those to whom he was supposed to be submitting himself. Now we know what happened in the Garden of Eden. They ate of the fruit. And many have said, well, they didn't fall down lifeless. They didn't die. Oh, yes, they did. They died spiritually. Their spirits died. They were no longer living. They were no longer living creatures. They died. Their spirits died. They were born again. They passed from life unto death. They died. And we know the story. God came down and all of a sudden they were aware of themselves. Completely aware of themselves. They realized they were naked. They realized they had needs. They were afraid. The source of all fear is self-preservation. When self is threatened, it makes you afraid. All of a sudden, they felt fear because all of a sudden, who they were in their self, they were aware of self. Self was the primary thing. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 14. It talks about Satan here. And it's good to know what the Bible says about Satan because it helps you to understand what the old man is. Satan is dead. He's a dead creature. And the old self is a dead creature. And it helps you understand who the old man is. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How you were cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Look at what Satan is. It was all about him. He wanted to exalt himself. He wanted to make himself God. You got to be careful with the old man. Because the old man is all about self-preservation. I will. And all throughout the history, you can read when men did what was right in their own eyes, who satisfied their own will. It led to a wilderness. It led to suffering, and no good came from it. That's what took over when Adam and Eve died that day. The earth became a wilderness because it was their will. It was all about them. Their nakedness had to be covered. Their fear had to be calmed. And they began blaming one another. Look at the chaos that took place when God came down. Adam, what happened here? Well, this woman that you gave me. Eve? Well, it was the serpent. He deceived me. And everybody's pointing fingers. Wasn't my fault. All of a sudden, the perfect world that God had created was fractured. And chaos was taking over the place. Nobody accepted responsibility. And that all came because Adam and Eve were now dead. The rulers of this world were all dead. And no one would take responsibility because nobody would take responsibility for someone else. The world was in chaos. And the earth was cursed. And everything made of the earth now bore that curse. That's why the animals die, because their bodies were made of the earth. And our bodies die because they're made of the earth, and the earth is cursed. And dominion was given over to a tyrant who had no love in him. No love. And now it was chaotic. The bacteria didn't know their boundaries. The animals didn't know their boundaries. Order was lost. Everything was lost. Adam and Eve died. They were spiritually dead. And there was a law that was put into the earth that said, all things give birth to their like kind. All seed gives birth to its like kind. All animals give birth to their like kind. Sheep were not giving birth to elephants. And monkeys were not giving birth to tadpoles. Everything was giving birth to its like kind. And Adam and Eve gave birth to spiritually dead children. And look what happened. Cain and Abel. It was all about themselves. Though Abel found righteousness in God's eyes and gave a sacrifice of blood to God, and God was satisfied with that offering. But Cain was jealous. What do you mean? He didn't take my offering. But Cain became jealous. It was all about him. It was all about self. And he killed Abel. And the unrighteous have been at war with the righteous ever since. So, a set of laws were put into place. To establish temporary righteousness. But they had to be sacrificed year after year. And all it would do would satisfy God for a year. But it wasn't a perfect sacrifice. And it was not enough to change the spiritual status of any man. The book of Hebrews says if it had been, they would have stopped doing these sacrifices and everything would have been fine long ago. But it could not change the status of a spiritually dead man. And Adam gave birth to Cain and Abel and other children, Seth. And throughout history, the human race was developed, but it was developed as a spiritually dead race. And the status of that spiritual deadness caused a very chaotic world to constantly be at war and to give birth to more spiritually dead children who eventually would all die physically. Now go back to John chapter 3. Jesus says to Nicodemus, you must be born again, verse 3. You can't get into the kingdom of God unless you are born again. And then in verse 5, he says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit. Now, what does that mean? Let's look at a couple of verses and establish a few things. Go back, turn the page over to John chapter 1. We've read this, but let's read it again. But as many as received him, he's talking about Jesus here. He says, as many as received him, he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God, born of God. Wow. Born of God. He's talking about a second birth there. Go over to Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he foreknow, talking about God. For those whom God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. That he, talking about Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now let's think about that for a second. Jesus says you got to be born again. John chapter 1 says he gave us the right to become children of God. Not born of the flesh, not born of somebody's will. But born of God. Romans chapter 8, God predestined this, that we would be conformed to the image of his Son, that his Son, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren. So in other words, you have been given the right to be a child of God that is born of God. Born in the same way that Jesus was born. Because Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren. So that you would be born the exact same way that Jesus was born. Now, how was Jesus born? Well, let's look at a couple of verses. Go back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. Let's start in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So the angel told Joseph, say, listen, what's happened to Mary, it's okay. For what's conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Go over to Luke. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, How can this be, since I do not know a man? I've never been with a man. I've never had sexual relationships with a man. And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Well, what's going to happen here? The Holy Spirit conceived in Mary, Jesus. Why was that important? That's real important. Because every seed gives birth to its like kind. Adam and Eve were giving birth to spiritually dead children, and the human race was born spiritually dead because everybody took after the image of Adam who conceived them. Jesus could not be of the race of Adam. He could not come from the seed of Adam. Because Adam's seed was corrupted. His seed was corrupted and gave birth to spiritually dead children. Jesus couldn't be of that nature. The only nature that Jesus could have been was God's nature. He was the only sacrifice that God would accept. That's what made him the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Because God had said, if anything goes wrong, I have a sacrifice. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary and conceived the seed in her, which made Jesus the perfect sacrifice. Because physically, he was all man. He was conceived in Mary, and he grew in her womb as a baby, which made him all man. But the seed that he was conceived with was all God. It was all God. So he was the only man born on this earth spiritually alive. The only one that had ever been born on this earth spiritually alive, which made him God's only begotten Son. He was spiritually alive. Now go back to John chapter 3. Now all of a sudden, everything that Jesus is saying to Nicodemus is going to make sense. Nicodemus says, "How can I get into the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus says, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Verse 5, "Unless you're born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So don't marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." You've got to be born of the Spirit. What happens? What happens when we're born again? The Holy Spirit overshadows us. The minute that you believe in the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit overshadows us and conceives on the inside of us a new and living spirit that is now spiritually alive. And you undergo a birth. A new birth where you become spiritually alive. You pass from death unto life. And you are spiritually alive again. Well, don't you understand what that means now? You are spiritually alive. You are spiritually living. Now go back to Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 28. "We know all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son." We're going to be just like Jesus. "That He might be the firstborn among many brethren," because we're going to be born the same way as Jesus. By the Holy Spirit. Conceived by the Holy Spirit. "Now, as my children, you were born." You were conceived. You have all the capabilities of a human being. That means you can do more than a cat can. You can talk. You can reason. You have all the capabilities of a human being. That comes with the virtue of being born a human being. So being born of God does what for you? It gives you the power of God on the inside of you. Why? Because you've been born of God. You're spiritually alive. You're a child of God. It doesn't make you father, but it does make you a child of God. Now, when you were a baby, I fed you, wiped your bottom. When you grow up, I expected you to do those things for yourself and to get off a couch and go out and do something. Why? Because you have the capabilities of being productive. You're human beings. Now it goes even further as a child of God. You have the capabilities and the power of God on the inside of you. You are spiritually alive. You are children of God. That's why Jesus could go about doing good. Go to Acts chapter 10. Go to verse 38. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. You see, he was spiritually alive. Jesus was spiritually alive, so he was able to go about doing good. Because he had the Holy Spirit and the power of God. Why? Because he was the Son of God. And you have been given the right to become a child of God. And as a child of God, you weren't born by the will of man. And you were not born by the flesh, but you were born by the Spirit and have become a child of God. And you can go about doing good. You already have God's nature on the inside of you because you're spiritually alive. The Holy Spirit has conceived you. That's why Peter says, you have not been born again by corrupted seed, but by incorruptible seed. It's not corrupted. It is God's seed himself that has given birth to our spirit. Go to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3 verse 4. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior appeared towards man, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration. What is regeneration? What is regeneration? That's rebirth. Through the washing. The word washing there means renewal. Made new. We were made new by the rebirth and renewing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon you and renewed you and regenerated you. You became born again. The rebirth. Through the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly. Not just a little bit. It's not just a little bit. He said abundantly. More than enough. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. If you're an heir, what are you? You're a son. You're a daughter. You're in the family, right? Heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Verse 8, this is a faithful saying. In these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God. Now, if you've believed in God, what are you? You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. You're a child of God, right? If you've believed in God, what did John chapter 1 say? He gave all who believed on the name of Jesus. He gave the right to be children of God. Not born of the flesh, not born of the will of man, but born of God. So what does he say here? This is a faithful saying, and this is what I want you to affirm, that those who have believed in God, and those who have believed in God are children of God. What's he going on to say? He says, should be careful to maintain good works. These are good and profitable to men. So that is your commission. Because you have been born again, not of a corrupted seed, but of an incorruptible seed. And you have passed from death unto life. And you have been born of the Holy Spirit, which makes you a child of God. And if you're a child of God, you have the capabilities of the God-man. And so, you must maintain good works. What are good works? The word good, it is a derivative of the word God. That's why we say God is good. To be good, you have to be beneficial. to everything, to all people, at every moment, irregardless of time, irregardless of circumstance, irregardless of status. In other words, it has to be good for all people at all times, irregardless of their circumstance or status in life, to maintain good works. These are good and profitable to men. And he's saying here, if you've been born of God, you need to be very careful to maintain good works. Or you could read it like this. If you've been born of God, be real careful that you maintain God works. God works. In other words, he wants you to be like Jesus, going about doing good. Now, why can you do that? Because you have been born of the same nature. You have been conceived by the Holy Spirit. You have passed from death unto life. You are no longer among the dead. You are living. You are a child of God. But that's why God said, on earth as it is in heaven, I want it down there with you the same way it is up here with me. And the only way that can happen is if you are of the same nature as God. That's why we can do the works of Jesus and even greater works. That's why he's called us not just to be prosperous. Prosperity is something that just happens. We have been born of God that we might do his works in the earth. The Holy Spirit himself has overshadowed us and birthed on the inside of us a new spirit born of incorruptible seed. And we have been born of God himself. And we can go about doing good. As children, you had to learn how to do a few things. You had to learn how to walk. You had to learn how to feed yourself. You had to learn how to maintain your body. Got even more complex when you had to learn to do certain things. You had to develop. You had to develop yourself. And growing up in Christ is a very important thing. You see, you've been born again. Now you have to grow. You have to grow. And you have to get more competent at the things that God has called you to do. And you have to get more proficient. And it's easy to hear a sermon and say, you know, like this, and say, yeah, you've got the capabilities of doing good, just like Jesus did, to go about doing good, good works, God works, healing all who are oppressed to the devil, raising the dead, healing the sick. You have that. You have that capability. People get frustrated and say, well, why am I not doing that? It's because you haven't got proficient at it. And that always leads me to the next step. You have to grow. Grow thereby. By desiring the sincere milk of the word. As you have received Christ Jesus, walk ye therefore in him. How did you receive Christ Jesus? You were saved by grace through faith. And I always come back to my little circle. You want to raise the dead? You want to do good works? You want to live your life apart from just being yourself and fulfilling yourself? You want to put away the old man and put on the new man? And you want to live life more abundantly? And you want to be led by the Spirit of God? And you want that life that Jesus came to give you, life more abundantly? Then you do what it takes. As you receive Christ, walk in Him. Get your eyes on Him. Take His word. Whatever His word says you can do, begin to look at that until you desire it. Meditate on it day and night. Whatever it takes. Do your fasting. Limit your input. Turn your desire into hope, which is confidence, which means you have to persevere through your doubt and persevere through your failure and to rejoice in hope and in hope believe. Till you come to that place of faith and you're willing to get out of the boat. And God will put His grace in there and His mercy. And your promise will be fulfilled. And you will walk in the things that God has destined you to walk in. Why? Because you have been born of Him. You now operate under a new system. A system that has no limit. For nothing shall be impossible. Because you've been born of God. And with God, nothing is impossible. Amen.